who are not going to wait for patronage to say you're allowed to have this, who actually we can't, there's no pork in the barrel to give out anymore, we can't do it, so we're going to have to make this by ourselves. I don't mean it's a bad way, but my sense is the politicians who've inherited their father's seats, who the last bit of education they got was primary school teacher training in the mid-70s, it's insufficient for them to understand the complexity and the potential of this world. And I think they're being bypassed. I do a fair bit of work where you collaborate with government departments, and they just kind of go, okay, that's, yeah, thanks, you've answered all our questions. You've done it, you just hit the ball out of the park, and they don't know what to do with that. They don't know what to do with that information you give them, or the way you solve the problem. Yeah.
By the way, do you mind me recording this?
No, not at all.
Okay,
no.
And sharing it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. That's
yeah.
all right. Just want to double check.
No, I'm not a problem
because,
with that at
because,
all.
Because, look, we this experience of meeting with some people and discovering that, you know, you say things to them and they actually don't know what to do with it, right? They their mind is, on one level, their mind is alerted and woken up, but the context they feel themselves to be in is so restrictive.
Yeah.
Maybe through their own mental constructs. Maybe because of real naked use of power to stop them doing things. For whatever reason, whether it's internally caused or out of their way they were brought up, or whether it's caused by external institutional power, I don't know. Or both, or the mixture.
Well, I think there's two very worrying things. First is, one, if we talk too much about what it's even here now, it'll actually lower our mood, because I think it is very mood-lowering. The nature of politics at the moment as it stands, and actually where it's come from. I actually think that, you know, I bypass a lot of the news around it now because I find it just the repetitive musings of people who aren't that alert to the problem. And I don't need the news to tell me that that's what it is.
So you don't listen to the radio three times a day, listen to the latest news?
I'm opting out of it. I find there's more stimulation at times in world news and events that are happening. Ireland is just like a, you know,
like a repetitive stream of negativity.
And also no proposed solutions other than one more heave. In relation to what the idea of giving information away, I think what you have is, in a government structure, you know you've succeeded when your budget stays the same or it grows. Because actually what you really need is to de-invent yourself or make yourself more agile. That goes against the entire way of thinking of government. But how cost centres will work in Google, Amazon, whatever, where you're not a dead cost. You don't have to defend the cost. You contribute to the value of the business or the enterprise. What you get in the civil service, I believe, and among other structures like that, is it's a rugby union analogy. You get the ball, you kick for touch, and you run with it. And actually, all the people who run with it have either left the country or very little to do with politics. All the people who actually kick for touch run government. And unfortunately, they still have huge power. So we've now got to try and lobby some of those people to start thinking about running with the ball, or at least subbing themselves and letting other people on the pitch.
Okay, but look, are we... I think back to my early days in relation to rugby. The Irish rugby team progressed as well as it could by basically getting the ball from the line-out, kicking it into touch, and hoping that it would be a muddy day.
Yeah.
And you had occasional brilliant out-halves... You know, before my time, Jackie Kyle, after my time, the likes of
Campbell,
the likes of Ward, in the centre, Mick Gibson was a special talent. Okay, but look, you guys are both saying, I think, and certainly so am I, is that, look, there's a dead weight in Ireland, right? And but at the same time, I think you're saying, Ken, that there is reason to be hopeful. That if you turn off the news and you just ignore them. You don't hit them head on. Is that what you're saying?
I think you treat them as health and safety. You just say, okay, yeah, fine. It's the law for me to do this. Fine, grant. Am I relying on you to go to, I don't know, Malaysia and persuade an industrial still okay here? Well, that'll take a while, won't it? I just think we're fine. We just don't need this. We also, I think the standards have been raised. What we expect from leadership is very different. And we elect leaders in Ireland because that's the it's who turns up on the day. It's Hobson's choice. Whereas if you actually... Manicano Mangon, is that his name? Manicano Mangon? He's an Irish Times journalist. He's a travel correspondent. Said, in the last German election, no one who was running for the Dáil resembled him or his friends in any way, shape or form. You just couldn't see anything in them.
It's
like
there's a disconnect between the technocratic structure of politics in Ireland and the actual thinking capability and propensity of real people on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, now look, we have got disruptive agents coming into Ireland, potentially disruptive agents like Facebook, like Google, like Twitter, and there are other less well-known ones that I can't remember at the moment, but there are. Is there any hope that these will attract colliding people?
They'll force upskilling. In the same way you had the digital corridor in Galway, where digital was set up there in probably the late 80s.
There was a digital corridor in Galway?
Yeah, Digital IT, the IT company. It was from Galway to Limerick, I think, was where they had a couple of plants, and people worked there along that western seaboard. Then when they left, you got X amount of hundreds of people, probably more, who were trained to work with a multinational, with logistics, with creativity, on deadline, and using skills. So in other words, when they left, you then have, well, nature abhors a vacuum. Someone will start setting up their own business. Someone will actually be able to attract other businesses into the area. I think you're beginning to see, if you want to work in Facebook, whether you're in advertising or whether you're in programming, you might end up going out with some news in programming while you work in advertising. It's a collision. These companies just don't really have time for small governments getting in their way, which is the dangerous side of them, of course, but they don't have time for it. They're just not bothered by them. And I think what you find is, a good example is hospital waiting lists. You've got an appointment at an outpatient clinic in the public service in Ireland. One of the big problems is DNAs did not attend, didn't turn up. Why not just have people...
That's an interesting use of DNA.
Yeah. Why not just text people the night before saying, text us back if you're coming in for the hospital. No, I can't do that. Data protection. But people are so used to it. Whether you're buying a ticket online for a credit card, anything you do, you just expect someone to maybe contact you, remind you. You're booking a place in a car park at Dublin Airport, Cork Airport. Text me the bay number. And you get to you. But no. And so we send letters out to people. People don't even check the letterbox. Hospitals send letters. We've got teams of people using paper, stamps, and they're no.
Okay, look. We know this is all wrong. But I tell you, I keep coming. I agree with you. I agree with you entirely. We got something wrong, right? What I'm looking for now is, you know, could you point me to a half a dozen individuals? Because I think you need a very small number of people
Paddy
to
Cosgrove.
Watch this whole thing come crumbling down. All this dead culture is actually fragile.
It's not allowed to invent itself. We won't let it happen.
What about Paddy Cosgrove anyway?
So he's a good example of a guy who's ran something from probably his bedroom to start, and it goes into his house. And he's got a few people running with him, the Web Summit. Ireland does a digital technology
and Dara village. Hickey.
Dara Hickey.
I interviewed both Dara Hickey and Paddy Cosgrove on Audio Boo. It's on the same channel about about their experience of going to the Web the year before last.
I never heard of it.
You never heard of the Web?
No.
Great. I'm delighted. At last I found out something you don't know. The Web was set up by a guy called Loic. Ash, LOIC.
Mm-hmm.
It's in about its 11th year or something like that. It is I want you to imagine 4,000 or 5,000 people in Paris on the outskirts.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been there myself, but John Peevoy has been there. Conor O'Neill has been there. Enterprise Ireland took a clutch of people off the top of my head. I think of Teamwork PM.
Okay.
You know the guy from Teamwork PM in Cork?
Yeah.
I think. Another guy, Temera, based in Clonmel. A whole collection of them. And if you looked up one of Conor O'Neill's websites, you'd find a whole lot of them. I interviewed a whole lot of them. They all went over there. Enterprise Ireland was the first country in the world to take a stand. And they brought these 10 or 12 companies over there. And they exposed them to the Web.
Right.
The Web has got, you know, the head of Skype, the head of all these big companies come and speak. It's like the biggest European gathering, the equivalent of some of the very big American ones, the Las Vegas, Las Vegas one, and the whatever. And Paddy Cosgrove and Dara Hickey were there. They tell you all about it. It's on again in October, November.
Right.
Get some funding and do a sociological experiment, a participant observation research, right? Do a William Footwhite Street Corner Society on it, right? Go there and find out the mores, the habits, the customs of the gang leaders in the web system. Seriously, that is worth them knowing that, you know. The thing about Ireland is that...
Add that to Coda Dojo.
You know about Coda Dojo?
Yeah, it's great idea.
We know about Coda Dojo. Yeah. Who do you know in Coda Dojo?
I just know of it. I invited Josh Weldon or Welton.
James Weldon, right? Last heard of in Scottsdale in Arizona.
Yeah, I invited him to speak to our company, and it just fell through. He couldn't make the date, and we couldn't make the alternative date. It was about a year ago. Just like this idea... That's exactly it. That breaks through. If you wait in the Department of Education to make that happen, you'll be waiting a long time.
Hey, why don't you come down to Kinsale one day, right?
I will.
On some sort of research trip, and we'll get together. We'll find a way of getting to Bilal.
And Bilal is the financial backer.
Oh, brilliant!
Of Coda Dojo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you see, somebody like you can spread the message about Coda Dojo, and Bilal, when he listens to this, and we'll make sure he hears it, we'll be saying to him, who is this guy? Because Bilal is a complete... You can become an evangelist. You're already an evangelist.
I want to be this... I talked to John Egan, who you definitely have to talk to, about being a... He wants me to come as an education advisor on the Archipelago panel, because I know about university curricula and how they work. And I like this idea of being an education entrepreneur, teaching new ways for people to use their brains and using new technologies to make that happen. And moving away from... I show information at you for 50 minutes, you're kind of a bit bored, and then you leave.
Great skill during that, though. I became one of a very, very good note taker. I learned a lot at lectures, how to take notes.
Yeah, and it's like, it's this idea that you need maybe 20-minute breakout sessions, or how do you, like I, in my UCD public health teaching, I use Twitter as a teaching aid. So I've got the student, I harvested public health resources on Twitter, said to students, access my publicly available list, and I've curated what I think are the best resources in public health on Twitter, and you can use them.
What's your Twitter name so people can find it?
At Ken DP McKenzie.
KENDPMCKENZIE. And you have a publicly available list?
Of loads of publicly available lists on thinkers, ad industry, science, ideas, public health. I make all them because I think it's, again, I try and see how I can use them in my teaching for my students.
Hey, I've got to ask you this because you're such a resource and resourceful person. Have you ever heard of a thing called SobCon?
No.
SOBCON.
No.
Right, I'll tell you.
Sounds
this
like question. A Russian labour camp.
Right. Well, it's not a sob story.
Okay, right? And it's not a con.
It's not about it. It's not a con. It's not about ex-cons, right? It's a gathering. It's a gathering in Chicago on the 3rd to the 7th of May this year. If you could possibly...
I definitely could.
Okay.
But tell me more about it.
SobCon was set up a few years ago by two people, a woman called Liz Strauss and a guy called Terry Starbucker. Forgive me, Terry, to this and I get your name wrong. It's typical of me. But the basic thing is they got a group of people together in a room, and I think it happened in Chicago, about 45 of them, right? And for a day, a single day, and they dedicated themselves to helping each other with their own businesses, right? A knitting circle.
Yeah.
I love that. Wait till Jane Boyd and the others the SobCon being called a knitting circle. Right?
Well, it's useful in programming.
Now, if I fast forward to today, that in the room this year in Chicago, okay, the famous people that... Have you ever heard of a guy called Chris Brogan on social media?
No, I can say no.
Great, never heard of him, right? Well, there are a few people who have heard of Chris Brogan.
I'm sure there are.
Right?
Yeah.
And
sounds like you need me to get invited.
He's the author of Trust Agents?
The author of Trust Agents, a book called Trust Agents.
Okay.
A co-author with Julian Smith, who incidentally has written a little e-book, 35 pages long. Have you any tendency to procrastinate at all?
Yes.
Do any of your students have?
Yes.
After reading and experiencing The Clinch by Julian Smith, J-U-L-I-E-N, on Twitter,
yeah,
right, you'll never procrastinate again. this is subversive literature, right?
Have you read Rework by Fried and Hammerstein, I think is the name?
No.
Jason Fried, 37 Signals. It's a way of hacking work. It's their way, there's that website Life Hacks as well, but Rework is this idea that, you know, you don't need to be big, you need to be agile, just get things done, do beta. Who gives a shit? Underdo your competitions. Be good at what you do and don't try and offer everything to everyone. Really, really illuminating reading and liberating reading.
It sounds a bit like Break from the Pack.
So yeah, but a lot of this, Seth Godin is a lot of writing around this as well. Linchpin is an example, like the idea of, which is coming true now, I've noticed a lot, this idea of work as a gift, that you give away the work and you give away your labour and your time. There's
but
a
back
lot
to
of stuff
Subcon.
Around
I gotta take it back to Subcon is the most extraordinary community of people, predominantly in North America, although there is an intention to run on the, I think it's the 12th or 15th of June in Amsterdam, if you could make that even a single day, right? I'll send you all the details about Subcon after today. But if I tell you that, like, there's no place on earth I'd rather to be in terms of a gathering of people this year than in Subcon in Chicago.
So they pull their business conundrum, and then we say we'll help you get over the line.
It's
growing. Is that like
now
the Freemasons?
Two and a half
days.
Well, no. The thing about this is the thing about it, you see, Subcon is not secret. It's the opposite of secret. It's public. Yeah. They are the most generous collection of people. I have stumbled into them, introduced to them by a woman in Vancouver called Jane Boyd, and it has kind of taken off. But I, who don't never met any of them physically face to face at all, you wouldn't believe how engaging they are, how incredibly open and welcoming they are to so-called outsiders. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of open room on the internet. But there will be 144 people in a single room, face-to-face with each other for 2.5 days, at going through a staged process of things. And for example, one of the rules that Liz Strauss, who was on the phone with me as I was driving home in Cork, she's that generous. She actually rang me from America to talk to me, I think yesterday or the day before. She told me there are no conversations in the corridors.
Okay, that's good.
Everything
is
in the public space. And I just thought, of all the things I learnt about Subcon, I thought, because you could easily, as a newcomer, come into a place like that and say, well, look, they all know each other.
Yeah, it's marginalizing.
There's a pecking order here. You know, we have, Chris Brogan will be talking to what's that wonderful lady called? Liz Marshall. Liz Marshall is another wonderful woman from somewhere down in Texas, and she knows all about publishing, right? And she is helping people to do publishing and stuff like that. And, I think all those big heads, well-known people, 200,000 followers on Twitter. Brogan's up at that level, by the way.
Okay, yeah,
and he's got a clout score of about 90.
Wow.
Right?
Well,
he may not be the very highest, but he's right up there.
Ten
most influential Twitter people and social engagers in the world, you know? No, I'm walking around
like a convert.
I'm a convert, with all the enthusiasm of a convert. But seriously,
I just a convict. With all the enthusiasm of a convict.
Anyway, look, I've told you enough about Subcon. I did an audio enthusing about Subcon in a shower a few days ago. Literally, I took the iPhone into the shower and recorded after I read. And because not many people had heard a podcast from a shower.
Yeah, I'm sure.
To my great surprise, it isn't already an established genre.
It's odd, isn't it? Some people are just freaky that way.
Well, I mean, I don't know what they thought about this naked man in a shower talking about the organisation and the thing. But anyway, I'm delighted and utterly thrilled, Ken, to be able to tell you about something you don't already know.
Yeah, I don't know about Subcon at all.
I'll see you in Chicago in 2013.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
This man wanted me to go to Chicago in 2012. Why, Jonathan?
The Ryder Cup, Paul.
And what interest do you have in the Ryder Cup, Jonathan?
I'm a golf fanatic.
Yeah, but what would you give to go there in September or October? What date is it, by the way, and what course are they playing on? I don't know.
They're playing Medina, which is one of the top golf courses in the United States, and I think it's the last week in September.
And will Dan McLaughlin, the Dan Plan, you know the Dan Plan on Twitter, will Dan McLaughlin be flying up from
Dan should be there.
Portland, or Dan will be there, yeah?
Should be.
Will he be practicing with the stars?
I don't know. Paul,
have you heard of the 10,000 hours theory?
Yes.
What do you know about it?
The idea that, I've heard him interviewed on radio, I haven't read the book, there's the idea that expertise takes this 10,000 hours of practice, and that the idea of being a virtuoso without having that foundation.